Hey, patrons, what's up? We're in a new room. It's been a while since Scott's been out here, but we're no longer in Texas, for those that weren't aware. I live in St. Louis now, and this is the studio, kind of. It's what the studio will be in, I guess. But yeah, I guess before you even get to all that, how you been?
I've been good, man. It's been a while. It's been a while. I've been good. Excited to, work in in your new space and like a more permanent space that we don't have to worry about,
right.
Your lease up. It's a little smaller in the sense of like pure square footage of what we had to work with, but we were kind of working in living room great rooms, which offer a different perspective, like obviously huge ceilings and everything, but now this is enclosed. Production will be across the wall. We got a little window and everything. I'll do a little tour.
I guess you can do that with the camera.
So we'll start, let's see. Yes, let me go... So basically, this is downstairs in JP's house. When they finished their basement, not only is Aaron and JP's like streaming offices down here, but they built this. They built in a room, basically. That is, see how far I can go. It might stop back here. Yeah. So I brought my camera. I have a smaller pan and tilt and zoom camera than the Panasonics we normally rent. This is made by NewTek, the same people that make the TriCaster, 1080/60 and all that, but just not as beefy as the Panasonics. So we've got almost a square room. You can see behind us is a little bit of a cut-in that they had to do for the stairs and the hallway that deals with the basement itself. So it's a little, it's pretty much square with a little cut-in, basically. So then this side is a pure square. Again, a little smaller than we had in his previous houses, so we're going to nix the bookcases. And Aaron's going to come up with a different way to decorate all the walls. This is a little window that on the other side of this window is kind of the rest of their finished basement, but most importantly, that's where the tech table will be. So, like, I can stand up in the window and wave to Adam, give him his 5-minute warning, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things about it is the noise that I generate, whether it's the TriCaster hum and all the gear or someone trying to talk to me, will no longer, I don't have to whisper. I used to be careful, like, when I would roll the chair on your tile until we bought a carpet, that would make enough noise that the mics picked up. So I think in a lot of regards, although it's a little smaller and a little bit more confined, I think in a better world, it'll be more conducive to shows and a variety of things in that sense.
Yeah. You guys are probably also hearing a lot of echoing. There's nothing in this room except this table, us, and these chairs. So we'll probably put some soundproofing against that wall. And, of course, we're going to dress the set and everything. So most likely that'll pick up all the sound and eliminate the echo.
Yeah. Because the carpet's on the floor, stuff like that.
Yeah. A rug would probably help a lot.
And
that'll be all eliminated. Then we got to figure out exactly what we're going to do when it comes to dressing the set in terms of, in the past, we've used those the shelves behind us. We put the shelves behind us to kind of start off with. Not really going to work in such a in a smaller space.
Yeah, it's
we
a
might have
too
one
tight.
Or two, maybe not. That's kind of Aaron's department. We'll let her kind of deal with all that stuff. But for the most part, this is where the table's going to be. This is where it's going to sit in this room. We'll have a couple more cameras, obviously, just kind of most likely similar to the other setups that we've done. We'll still have the camera up above.
Yeah, and it's some things we have going for us here. We'll still do the camera up above, but like now that this space has been they talked to the contractor about for this. So one of the things I said is, well, what we didn't have in the old house is any sort of like built-in lighting to do accents on the table or the talent or anything really. It was all like coming from the great, up above you had a loft that looked down basically on the set. And then we put stuff on top of the bookcases. But so we had the contractor put in a nice set of 3 lights here. These are eyeball adjustable, meaning that you can get up there and kind of aim the light.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got those, and then we've already figured out that probably right in the middle of it, we're going to put a track that then one of these pan and tilt cameras can slide on.
Yeah.
That'll be more of a permanent setup, whereas before we had to use a temporary system with sandbags and an overhanging pole to attach the light. And now it'll just be kind of permanent,
Yeah.
So very nice in that sense.
Yeah. So I guess the other thing in terms of news and stuff that we have ready to talk about, we don't have an exact show date just yet. But in the past, we've always talked about, renting gear and the fact that gear would get in on Monday. Scott would usually fly in Monday, and it would take almost every minute of Monday to Thursday to really set all that stuff up, sometimes a little bit of Friday, depending on how much new stuff we were adding, et cetera.
Yep.
So this time around, we haven't done a show since a week before I moved here, which was like February 20th or 22nd or something like that. I think it was the last live show, which means a lot of the patron money that you guys have pledged has just kind of been sitting there. And I don't touch that money, obviously. It stays in that account. But with it being so many months, is we have a pretty good percentage of money stored up. And we're going to use that to buy everything. I think that was something that I kind of thought about around probably last week or so, in terms of just the amount of setup time, the amount of stress involved in kind of setting that stuff up and making sure that we're ready to do a show that Friday. Could be, you know, just stricken completely if we just owned it.
Yeah.
We set it up once and you just flew in on a Thursday, loaded all the graphics and whatnot, and we were done.
Yeah, we test on Friday, go live on Saturday, done.
Yeah. And so we kind of looked into the financials of it and kind of looked at all the numbers and stuff. But it seems like that's what we're going to do. So we're going to be buying a full-on TriCaster. We're going to own the cameras. Maybe one or two shows where we rent some small stuff. But for the most part, I think we're going to end up owning everything. Got to buy a bunch of cables, obviously.
Yeah.
We're good on like the encoder PC because I have a bunch of the old PC that we used. I own that. Maybe a reference monitor down the line. At the start, we're going to end up getting these cameras that you're seeing us on right now.
Yep.
And then Scott was saying in sometime winter 2018 is when they're supposed to come out. The TriCasters, the TC1s can do 4K 60, but the cameras can only do 4K 30 right now. And this
unless
winter,
you go unless you go like a
the crazy broadcasting
like more of a stick camera, not a the pan tilt and zooms are the ones that are at 4K 60 or 30 right now.
Yeah.
Panasonic is in this winter 2018 sometimes the camera we already used, which was their flagship pan and tilt and zoom,
right,
is being upgraded 4K 60 NDI network protocol to talk to TriCasters even easier. So it's basically that best camera. Actually, a cheaper price than the current one, in the sense of when it's supposed to be like sold for under 12K, and those current ones were like 15K at retail, I think.
Jeez, okay.
But I think that probably means like the chip costs are coming down, the lens costs are coming down, you know, for everybody.
Right.
So yeah, I think the plan is kind of to use the less expensive New tech cameras that are 1080/60,
which still look the 1080/60 is fine.
Yeah, you know, and I think the
different lenses.
Yeah, different lenses. So the quality might be a little. I think we'll have to tweak it a little more in the sense of matching, because those Panasonics we used to use are again top of the line 1080/60. These are not that expensive, but I think for what we're doing, I don't think the general public will necessarily notice it. We might have to not do the slider the first couple shows. And then again, I think if all goes well and you then sell these cameras off or use them in your own streams or whatever, upgrading to those Panasonics will be gorgeous. Because to your point, you probably won't be able to stream in 4K.
Yeah, we'll never be able to stream in 4K 60 because that you need about double, if not triple, kind of the bit rate that,
and
that
Twitch
allows.
Doesn't even allow
right now, yeah.
But you'd be ready if they ever did flip that switch.
And we would just record and capture in 4K 60, but then we would just not encode, but yeah, I guess encode at 7 or at 1080 60 probably. But that means that VODs moving forward from whatever we do, if we'd end up getting those cameras, would be 4K 60 on YouTube, which would look nice.
Yeah.
You'd be able to see all the, we'd have to get makeup is basically what that means.
Yeah. So it might change a whole other thing, a whole other set of problems for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Makeup would definitely come into play because it's as much a jump if you were around kind of when the jump from, you know, 480p to 1080p occurred on the internet at large and streaming, it's four times that jump. 1080p is 4X or 4K is 10, four times 1080p, basically. So the image quality just jumps up, and you start to see pores in people's faces, and it gets kind of crazy. So you got to get makeup and stuff like that. But that's a whole other problem that we'll figure out.
Yeah, we'll worry about that later.
Yeah.
We have room for a makeup station outside
now.
Yeah. This whole downstairs is awesome.
Yeah, well, I'll probably, hopefully, right now you're watching some footage out there that I've spliced in from my phone that I recorded, but you can kind of see the space. Obviously, right now there's a bunch of trash, or not trash, but just boxes that we had to kind of get some of the stuff out from the set so we can see if everything is going to work in terms of measurement and all that. But there's the kind of TV area, green room area where we'll either have the stream running or whatever streams people want to watch over there in the corner. We kind of have like a little dry bar set up here. So if you need water or whatever, or Scott wants to get a drink in the middle of the show or I don't know, open a glass of wine.
Yeah, man, there's a bathroom down here. Yeah, I mean, your guys' offices are down here, which your studio spaces are yours and Aaron's are awesome. Like, they're very cool down here.
We're pretty happy with
that. Very cool house in general.
So, yeah, that's kind of the thing is we're gonna own all this stuff.
It's something we did discuss when you first came up to me and said, this is what my Patreon is. I'm planning on doing it every 3 months. And we did the math. We're like, okay, what if you just owned all this, you know? And there's a time when it pays for itself, right? And I think once you do, and a TriCaster, to build around the TriCaster, I think is very smart because, again, they're very future forward now. For a while, they were behind the eight ball. Now they're ahead of the eight ball in the sense of 1080-60. And, like, technically, you can bring in 16 1080 4K 60 cameras into this unit. You're never going to bring that many in. But So it's like the switcher is going to future-proof you for a while, and then again you slowly upgrade your cameras, keep an eye on that tech, and obviously keep in mind there's no lights on in here. Like, the lights are these lights, so we probably don't look the best, but there's no, like, actual camera lights hitting us either yet. I think it makes sense in the long run, and, you know, not only your patrons are obviously, you've stockpiled this money, so again, now that same money can be used for more set stuff as you tweak your set each time, because you won't need to rent the gear anymore. You'll have other expenses you can kind of divert. That, you know, your cast now needs hotel rooms because they don't live in your, they can't stay in your house.
Exactly,
enough. So you just kind of shift the expense of what your patrons are paying for. But I think having that core unit built, and for me, like, as I said to you, like, I have no problem getting on an airplane with my stuff anymore. But again, it's one less hassle for me. I charge you for that. It's a very cheap. It's way cheaper than the company charged you for the TriCaster. But again, that's money that no longer needs to be spent. We generally rented the gear from the company, which was the cameras and the cables and a few other doodads, was about $5,000 a show. So again, that all adds up.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, even when we were renting the TriCaster, it was about $7,000 a show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it, all in all, like it after about six or seven of these, maybe a little bit more, we'll start to kind of recoup on that stuff.
And and maybe it'll allow you, schedule dependent of all your streamers and everything to do them
more
regularly. Maybe it's, generally every 3 months, but maybe you can sneak one in, like, every one, and then next month you do another one, kind of thing, if it fits everyone's schedule.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about, can we rent the gear? Is it available? Is this or that? It's like, your studio is done.
Right. We just need the people in here to turn on the stream and hit record. And then the other thing, too, is, it can extend outside of role play. We can maybe do some drop frames episodes. If me and Aaron, if she wants to do crafts or something, I can turn on the stream and use the cameras or whatnot.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's like that one time we double dipped the drop frame show.
Yeah.
And that was a great show. It was very stressful that week, but the idea of, like, using, we have all the stuff here, let's do something else, that, that opens up the ability to do, above and beyond even the role play stuff if you guys desire.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's an exciting time, but what it also means is that we got to order all the gear. Scott's got to come out. I think right now we're thinking it's going to take at least one more trip without a show. And September might happen in there somewhere. He has some trips coming up.
Yeah.
October, obviously, is pretty busy, especially with TwitchCon at the end of that month. So we don't really know exactly when the next show is going to occur. We just know that we kind of have a plan in terms of we're going to get the gear, we're going to get him out here, we're going to set it up, and then we'll probably be able to do a show whenever we really want. At that point, it just comes down to schedules and getting people out here. And, if we can't do a Court of Swords, then we can do a Far of Rona. Or if we can't do a Far of Rona, we can do an Oddballs. Or we could just do a one-shot.
A one-shot or something,
And it even comes down to the point, if Scott can't make it one weekend, after about two or three of these shows, I'll probably be well-versed in how to run that thing so that Scott can either come out and play in a show and I'll be the one directing it. Or we can do a drop frames where Scott doesn't even need to come out.
Well, and like the TriCaster is like so powerful at its core, but at the same time, it's always been built to be very user friendly. Like as the operator, like churches use this gear, like volunteer services, and they have to train different volunteers to do different stuff. So to use the basic stuff, like push this button, have this camera, so easy, and then it's just very deep. As the deeper you get into the macros and the complexity of it, to the point where like you could probably find a high school kid in a drama class or an AV class to be your little helper, right?
Right.
Or another streamer in town or whatever. But yeah, I can be replaced, right? So that even I don't have to come out, although I love doing your shows. And like the idea of being able to do your shows and roll in and go USB stick, graphics all work, let's go,
yeah.
is even, because then it's even easier for me.
We were pretty close to that too, except we had to set up all the gear before yeah. we put the USB stick in.
Yeah, so. Yeah, the TriCaster stuff got really easy because it was coming from my house. Right now, I'll still probably get with Daniel and build the show at home.
Yeah.
And then put it on a disc and just load it into this TriCaster because they you can swap stuff, right? You can bring the entire show on a piece of media,
yeah.
throw it in, TriCaster doesn't care, it fires it up.
Yeah. And from Erin's perspective, she doesn't have, because Erin lived in St. Louis this entire time that I was still in San Antonio, so the set was basically built the same week that, you know, all the hardware stuff was set up. So now Erin, after work one day, can mosey in here and say, I think we want to do that. Let's order some and test it out and see how it goes. It's not a one-week thing. It's a three-month thing.
Or yeah.
it's however long she wants to spend on it type thing.
And that kind of does go back to having the gear in place. Because, again, she can walk in here with wallpaper or different ideas.
And
but until she flips the cameras on and oh, the glare on this wallpaper is terrible. We can't
yeah.
use it. We dealt with that live on some totally. Of your shows. And she was like, okay, well, we can't use it. Like, she had to, like, literally scramble her core ideas
right.
when stuff was glary or whatever. Now she can really, like, fire it all. Because even Erin, again, like, Erin's kid
yeah.
could literally learn the TriCaster there, not,
yeah, yeah,
you know, for the basic stuff. But at least firing up the cameras, turning the lights on, and she can walk in and go, oh, yeah, that looks great. Or, JP, come look at this, you know. I think it's the versatility will add. And like you said, she can just, on her free time, so to speak, once you decide what show, what theme of it is, plenty of time to figure out how to dress the front, you know, and all those different things.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, in the past, we've always done our own lighting. We are lucky enough to know someone at Twitch who does lighting kind of as his main job. He does some other stuff at Twitch as well. But we think most likely once the gear is kind of in place, we'll bring him out for a day or two and obviously give him some specs before he gets out here. But we'll kind of have I don't want to say proper lighting, but we'll have a proper lighting guy.
No,
look
I,
at it.
But I think combination is proper lighting too.
Because
again, I think the lights we would steal from your office, your LED panels, those are proper lights. I mean,
yeah.
that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, different color temperatures you can pick and different, you know, intensities. So those that I used to always just steal from you and set up, I think he can probably give us a better idea what ones to own.
Right.
So, you know, you don't have to destroy your studio ever. And then we were using like very inexpensive, like disco DJ lights for those down lights that gave us all the color.
Yeah.
But they're really loud. They have a fan in them. So in here, they'd get really echoey. And they're not like, it's a dinky little crappy unit for me to adjust. Not really a professional lighting board at all. Again, it's made for
a
DJ, right?
It's like a wedding DJ.
Yeah, wedding DJ stuff. You can buy this stuff at Musicians World and stuff. So it worked perfectly for what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
But again, with a little bit of resources thrown towards Sully, it's like, okay, this is what we need to light. This is the customization, the variety we need in our colored lights, so to speak. And then he'll not only send you in the right direction to buy the stuff, but then it sounds like he'll come out and help us set it up the first time,
yeah.
right?
Because yeah, yeah.
the lighting and shading cameras and all those things are not the easiest thing in the world to get your white balance. It has to do with your lighting. And like, we were mixing different color temperatures in your old houses. So like, getting him in on, you know, I might be an expert in the TriCaster stuff, but like lighting and cameras, like, I think it looks
yeah.
okay. So yeah, him willing to help you. And again, then it stays. It's done.
Right.
right?
Once we set it, we're pretty much good.
You know, some tweaks here and there, but like, it all starts with the right gear. I think starting with the TriCaster, good cameras, good TriCaster, and now a good set of lights in here, both decorative and like for the talent, makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I didn't even think about this when we started filming. Just so no one worries,
oh.
the top of this in the move got a little scratched on that
oh, yeah.
end. But the actual table itself is fine.
Yeah, we never, so, like, yeah. you never really use this.
Yeah, I think we used it once when we played Dark Souls or whatever.
And we put a tablecloth on top
yeah.
of it. Like
yeah,
when
yeah.
You guys did autograph signings on those. The posters
yeah.
and stuff, but we just put the black tablecloth over it anyway. But yeah, so this
yeah,
is
yeah.
normally gone. And then, of course, you'll normally have your TV, depending on what game we're using, how we use that TV, that doesn't change. But like on the tech side, it's so great. Like, they cut a hole in the wall for me, like straight to my desk. So this throw is less than it was before. I used to have to go behind all the bookcases with junk. And again, it's like that all goes away once we wire this the first time. And like you said, I'll come back before the first show. We'll wire as much as we can. I'll walk away. Sully will come in. He's also a production nerd, so he can fire up the TriCaster and the cameras and do his lights if I'm not here.
Yeah.
And it'll just be, again, I think doing the shows will be so much easier.
Yeah. both for from like a stress level and also just in terms of scheduling it. It won't be a week long thing of you having to come out. It'll be a 3 or 4 day thing of, you know, flying in on Thursday, putting the graphics in, seeing what works, what doesn't. And you won't be fiddling with like, oh, this camera's not working, you know, because it's not going to get unplugged.
Yeah.
It's going to sit there and
we're gonna have to get,
do those come with covers for dust? We're going to figure that out.
I don't remember. I think mine came with like a bag,
yeah,
but more of a plastic bag, but even if you just bagged them. But the Panasonics come with, like this doesn't even come with a lens cover, I don't think, but the Panasonics come with all that stuff, lens cover and everything. But I think Panasonics are several shows away, probably, right?
Yeah, those probably won't happen till, if anything, those will happen probably in early spring.
Because they're not out yet, and we probably want them to get out a little bit and probably firmware update.
Yeah.
Let the real production companies beat on them a little bit. And that's probably why we probably won't do the slider, you know, that fancy slider that some of you love the slider that, you know, when it slowly moves and then, but the way the Panasonics work is they're like one of the only pan and tilt and zooms that their program panel you also rent or buy lets you not only do like standard presets like here, here, and here, and here, like that's how I do the one shots and the two shots, but they let you record a tracking movement. Like you hit record and then it will record whatever you do. So the slider has a record program, but the slider just goes back and forth, right? So it's kind of, I record the slider doing its track back and forth a few times and stop it. Then I record the Panasonic doing, I start the slider, record the Panasonic, because I have to manually, with the joystick, keep the Panasonic in the middle of the shot. Otherwise, it would go this way, this way, and it would look weird. So then I record that. Usually takes me a couple times to get it right. And then during the show, I hit one button, hit the other button, and they both kind of play back their records, and one's moving and one is turning. These NDI cameras that come from NewTek don't have they have the preset ability to do the actual stops, but you can't record the tracking of them. So we'll probably get do this first couple shows without that fancy movement. Then once we get the Panasonic back, I will recommend that you buy the Panasonic box that programs them all, and then we can do that cool stuff again. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
And again, like I was telling you, like every time I do that movement, half people are like, "Oh, I'm getting sick. What are you doing?" And then half people are like, "Oh, production value. This is so cool." So I don't think your hardcore fans will be like, "Oh, there's no movement. This is terrible," right? And I could do it manually with these, but then that's just like I could screw it up too. So probably better not to do it.
From all that, Patreon's still trucking along. Shout out to all the new people from Far Verona that you haven't caught a live show yet or anything like that. They'll be coming soon. Me and Adam, I think, are going to most likely after PAX West coming up at the beginning of September, we'll sit down and kind of I didn't even realize this. We passed 2 years of the Patreon existing, I think, on July 28th.
That's awesome.
The front text is still from the day that we launched it. So we want to get together and kind of, a little update, little quick video kind of saying everything that's going on in terms of what you're getting if you actually pledge and what's been going on and what we've actually done with all the funds and whatnot. So maybe talk about our new hires in there as well, which I've kind of been tweeting about. That most likely will come the second or third week of September. And then we'll also do our live Q&As that we've done before. Probably double up since we missed August as well. But Adam was traveling a shit ton. There was like a 3-week period where he was at Gen Con and then going to LA. I think he went to LA every Tuesday 3 weeks in a row. He just went all over the place. So we haven't had a chance too much to catch up with him. But shows should start returning pretty soon. We're getting pretty close to also launching the Court of Swords automated graphics. I think those are pretty much, I want to say pretty much done. I need to check in with Barry and Daniel. We might be able to use those on the 4th when we come back with Court of Swords. So we got a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. I know we've kind of been quiet out there in public with everything. But ultimately, it was just getting Scott out here, and it was, getting all this stuff built and making sure that the house was livable.
That was part of it. Like, this, I think, probably took longer than you all thought to, it's contractors, right? So now it's done. They're out of your way, and we can kind of start moving in. So it just takes time. It's cool that your folks seem pretty understanding with, where's my show? It's been 3 months. But obviously you moved, you upheaved your entire life, you retrofitted an entire house, basically. But now, and this house is gorgeous, by the way. Like, he had nice houses before. Like, he had big houses all by himself. But this is a home. This is awesome, man. This is a really cool place.
Yeah, it's really happy for you. It's pretty exciting, too, because knock on wood, there shouldn't be any more delays in terms of getting these shows out. Like,
yeah,
I'm not moving anywhere.
Yeah, that's
the
best thing
several
about
years.
It's like once we get it in, and
done.
I'll come back every month for a while if you need to catch up on shows. Because again, like flying in for a long weekend, it's easy peasy, man. And it's fun to do, you know? So
I mean, technically, you could go home Sunday instead of Monday because you don't have to pack it up.
Yeah, that is the other thing. Sunday was generally a take my time, put it all in the boxes again, and the company came and got the gear. Now, literally, it's
turn it off.
Turn it off and see ya. And I probably would fly home on Sunday, right?
Sunday
afternoon
night,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Because all you'll have to be doing is, well, what we'll do is we'll figure out a network record for your 4K anyway, you'll have access. That was also the thing. We had to dump stuff off the TriCaster because the TriCaster had to get on a plane with me. So now, like,
there's
having to
dump
the show to you before I can leave doesn't happen either. You grab that, but that'll be on your network, right?
Yeah,
grab
it
whenever
exists.
You want it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm excited. Again, it's probably, you know, I'm sure some of your patrons are like, I'm giving you this money. Where's the show? But like, trust, like your money is going to be spent in this room.
Yeah.
Right.
And when we get it, I'll make sure to record all that stuff so you guys can kind of see exactly where that money's going to. But if you've watched kind of the equipment stuff from previous shows, previous live shows that we've done, it's pretty much all the same.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing you're not buying right away are those Panasonics. And again, we're just going to wait and then get them because then you'll be really 4K across the board, right?
Yeah.
Cameras as well as TriCaster. So, and we could actually do 4K now. Like, TriCaster lets you upscale. So we could have a 4K 60 show, and it will upscale these cameras for us and upscale graphics and everything. But, like,
what's the point?
It's not really going to look the same, right?
Because
it fills in the differences and stuff. But yeah.
Right.
Should be cool.
Yeah. So that's kind of the news. Those are the announcements that we wanted to talk about. I guess when we know when we're getting all the gear, I got to sit down and kind of figure out where we're going to get it from in terms of purchasing it because there's a bunch of different ways to go about that. And once I know that, I'll put out a tweet or at least give you guys an update here and we'll get him back out, get it all set up and start figuring out our first show. Definitely planning on doing one, possibly two shows before the year is up. But those will probably be towards the end, like November, December time is kind of what we're thinking. And we'll see where we go from there. So thank you guys for watching. If you do have any questions, feel free to post them in the comments or just tweet at both of us. It's probably a better way to go about it because I don't think you have access to any of the Patreon comments. So just tweet at us if you have questions. And as always, thank you so much for your support. Look for that video from me and Adam in about 2 or 3 weeks in terms of what's going on with everything else Patreon-wise. And we'll go from there. So that's it. Thank you guys so much.
Yay.
We'll see you hopefully for the next live show in a month or so. No, that's not a lot. In like
2 months?
3 months, 2 months.
Probably September, October to get it all figured out. And then you got to figure out with your what show you're going to do.
Yeah.
What cast is available when because they all have TwitchCon and that stuff too. So probably November would be the show.
November-ish.
And maybe even in December.
Yeah. We'll aim for November-ish and we'll see what we get. So that's it. Thank you guys. We're out. Bye-bye.